Welcome to Sunday morning at First Presbyterian Church, San Antonio, living to make Jesus visible in our neighborhood, in our city, and in our world. We invite you to join us any Sunday for traditional worship at 9:30 a.m. and 11 a.m., or contemporary worship at 11 a.m. Sunday school for all ages is at 9:30. Everyone is welcome. There are also lots of opportunities to learn more about Jesus Christ and find ways to serve our community. We're located at 404 North Alamo in downtown San Antonio. Parking is free.
For more information, visit us online at fpcsanantonio.org.
The Reverend Dr. Bob Fuller.
Well, I've got to warn you, I'm a little excited this morning. It's not just because I've had a lot of coffee up to now either. It's because this has been an absolutely fantastic weekend for our church. Not only today in commissioning our missionaries to the Yucatan, but yesterday we had an incredible day of service and of just glorious, glorious time together. You know, since the beginning of this new year, for the last 6 weeks, we have been saying that Jesus Christ has a mission and a vision for this church. It's the vision that Jesus declares at the beginning of his ministry, that the kingdom of heaven does not wait for the far distant future, and it's not some detached heavenly reality that we only experience after death. He said that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that it is here now. And it's a vision for the love of God, for loving one another, and in our case, for loving this city. Well, yesterday morning, 300 volunteers, plus a lot of our local neighbors, 300 volunteers gathered in our parking lot to lay claim to that vision. It was just so exciting. We had 300 volunteers that we sent to mission partners all over the city. We had 500 people here together, and that's a lowball estimate. We had 500 people here eating lunch together for just a celebration of what was going on. And you know what? It was a vision of the kingdom. It was like Pentecost going on. We had people from every tribe and nation represented. And the important thing to remember is that this is not just going to be a one-time event. Now, it's not always going to be like this, but the idea is that this would be an on-ramp, that this would be a path for us to get involved with our mission partners all over the city on a regular basis. This was an introduction. This was just a first date for us to show how much we love this city. You know, because we didn't do this so that we could pat ourselves on the back. We did this so that God would grab our hearts. And I know that that happened in so many ways. I've heard so many stories about things yesterday. God came through in so many ways. 2,000 years ago, on a hilltop in Galilee, a huge crowd gathered around Jesus of Nazareth. He went up to this hill to cast his vision for the kingdom of heaven. And in words for the ages, in a speech that we now call the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this. It's on page 962 of your Pew Bibles, chapter 5 of Matthew, beginning in the 13th verse. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set up on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever." Let us pray.
O Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and today we thank you for lighting our path more deeply into the city. We thank you for guiding us there. We ask you for taking us there, and we ask you to continue to direct us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be holy and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. For it is in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Jesus looked out at this assembled crowd, and he said, you. Actually, he said, y'all. It's not just the singular you, it's the second person plural, and he wasn't just singling out one person. But Jesus said, I'm talking to you. He looked directly at this crowd and said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Not somebody else, not some distant they in Jerusalem or Rome or Damascus. Yes, you right in front of me, not someone else, you. And we can't skip that little word right there at the beginning of this passage because it's everything. By the power of the Holy Spirit speaking through his word today, that you is now us. He is talking to us. Jesus Christ is just speaking directly to you and to me and everyone else who has ever dared to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think all of you just prayed that. So he's talking to you. And he said, you are the salt of the earth. Now, we've heard that expression so many times and for so long that it's lost a lot of its punch. But what Jesus meant by this expression was that he wants his followers to change the character and to change the flavor and to change the mood of the people and the place around us, to change the character of the world around us. He wants to do it just as salt affects food. You know, salt is probably the most universal condiment on earth. It's one of those common, ordinary, everyday things that we just take for granted. We see it on the table and we don't think much about it unless we want it. And yet, by its very nature, it changes everything. We all know the difference between salt water and fresh water. When something's undersalted and when it's oversalted, we don't even account for it, and yet it changes everything. And Jesus was saying that the people who believe in me, who would follow me, who are called by my name, must take up the challenges that God sets before us and make his world better. They must make a difference. They must be like salt to food. He was saying salt is flavoring, and I want you to influence the people around you. He was saying salt is a preservative, and I want you to protect hearts and minds and souls from sin and decay. Salt makes people thirsty, and I want you to make people thirsty and even hungry for righteousness and for the kingdom of heaven. God made us individually, each one of us, and together as his church, to be salt, to make a difference in the world around us. But he also said, you are the light of the world. Our God is a God of light. Light was the very first thing that he made. Light makes things visible and helps us to see what's around us, what's in front of us, and where we're going. And most of all, light helps us to see things the way they really are. Our world is so full of lies, it's so full of distortions, so full of relativism and confusing darkness and influence without truth. But you know what? Influence without truth is just manipulation. So Jesus said that our mission, the mission of God's people, is to be light, is to help people see the truth, to help people see the world the way it really is, that life is not just a result of chemical explosions and random atomic combinations, that this world is not just an accidental function, that it is the product and servant of God's will, to help people see who God really is. You know, so many people think that God isn't real. And if he is real, they think that he doesn't care or that he's not powerful enough to matter. Light helps people to see who we really are. You are more than just a biological machine. Your soul is more than just a neurological electrical storm. Even though each one of us is dangerously and fatally flawed, am I right? Each one of us is also fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are blessed and highly favored. People matter to God. And God not only cares about your eternity, he also cares about our right now, our at hand. He cares about our health. He cares about justice. He cares about our living conditions. He cares about our morality. He cares about our relationships. He cares about our confidence. And he cares about our joy. For these things that he came, the hope that we promise, and the influence that we exert must be grounded in God's truth. The truth that he's real. The truth that he loves us and that he cares. And the truth that he has the power to make a difference in our lives now and forever. Now, Jesus Christ has challenged us to make a difference and to share his truth. Salt and light. Several years ago, pastors Bill Hybels and Martin Middleberg came up with a formula to help us convert these metaphors into action. The formula is this, and it's printed on the front of your bulletin. It's also printed there on that space for your sermon notes. Very simple. It is MI equals HP plus CP plus CC. And right now, many of you are thinking, well, I'm a chemist. I've never seen that before. This isn't a chemical formula. This is a theological formula. So they're a whole different set of rules. But that's the formula. And what it means is this. First, maximum impact. That is, making a real and lasting difference for the kingdom of heaven is the result of high potency, that's the HP, high potency, close proximity, that's the CP, and clear communication, CC. High potency, close proximity, and clear communication. First, maximum impact, making a difference, making a real difference for the kingdom of heaven requires high potency faith. For salt or for faith to make a difference, it must be potent. Faith, like salt, can go bland. It can lose its saltiness or get so watered down as to be powerless. Jesus said that if salt loses its potency, its saltiness, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You know what? Unfortunately, I think a lot of us as Christians for much of the time live pretty low sodium lives. What makes faith potent? A potent faith comes from having a high concentration of Jesus Christ in our lives. People are looking for authenticity. And they're never going to trust Jesus Christ or his vision for their lives until they see that we trust his vision for our lives. If they are going to believe that all this is true and that all of this works, then they have to see it working in us. People need to know that we take God seriously. They need to see that we spend time in his word, that we believe that prayer is real, that we spend time in worship. They need to see, honestly, that we really believe this stuff. Otherwise, why should they believe it? But people also need to see it in the way we treat people, in the way we use our money, in the way that we talk, and in the moral courage we display, not just in the face of our opponents, but in the company of our friends, too. Because sometimes it's hardest to stand on our faith, to stand on our convictions in the midst of peer pressure. And peer pressure doesn't end at the end of high school. The Christian writer Michael Slaughter once wrote that for people like me, Actions completely drown out words. Behavior, Christian behavior, is the only thing that will win us. So let me ask this. Are you a potent Christian? Or are you a functional atheist? But salty faith isn't just about high potency. It's also a matter of close proximity. That's the CP. As long as salt stays in the salt shaker, it has no effect. It's just a fancy table ornament. Salt has to make contact with food to make an impact. To make a difference, we have to be in contact. We have to have relationships with other people. Some people have a wonderful personal relationship with Christ, and it's manifest in a life of faithful obedience and holiness. But you know what? Their faith is too private. They keep it in the shaker. Beloved, potent faith is personal, but it can never be private. We have to get out of the church. We have to get out into the streets, into our neighborhoods, into our schools. You have to come out from behind your desk and out from your routine. And we need to get out of our own circles, out of our own enclaves, out of our own cliques, and connect with people so that we can have an influence. But Jesus said that we're not only salt, he also said that we are to be light. And that's why the last part of the formula, CC, is clear communication. One of the most powerful things that happened yesterday, of all the powerful things that happened, one of the most powerful things that happened yesterday was that people shared their testimonies. Pastor Terrell Jackson from Church in the Streets and others, three men, all of who have served long-term prison sentences for drug dealing and aggravated assault and armed robbery, they all stood before a crowd of strangers and described how Jesus Christ made a difference in their lives. And you know what happened? People were moved. People came to Christ. And how do I know that? Because there was an altar call and people came up. It was a very un-Presbyterian moment, but it was awesome. But nothing draws people to Jesus Christ like honestly, clearly, and candidly declaring that Jesus Christ has changed my life. Blessed are the people who are humble enough to speak the name of Jesus, not only in front of strangers, but in front of their peers. Maximum impact requires clear communication of God's word. Far too many Christians have been anesthetized into thinking that if they simply live out their faith in an open and consistent fashion, then people around them will see it and they'll somehow figure it out on their own. They'll somehow come to Christ on their own. But let's be honest, that almost never happens. People need to hear the word of God. They need to hear the content of the gospel. Paul said that there must be somebody to preach. There must be someone to talk if they are to believe. Jesus emphasized that we need to be both salt and light. Jesus wants his followers to be able to shine a light on his message of grace with clarity and accuracy. It doesn't make sense to people without explanation. Paul said that those who don't understand see the cross and they think it's foolishness. We need to explain it, and we need to connect it to their lives. In his book, The Reform Imperative, Dr. John Leith wrote that the task of Christian witness is to help people understand how Jesus Christ answers the deepest questions of their lives and makes sense of their experience. Our job is to help people connect the dots from God's word to their circumstances. And that requires clear communication. They need to know that the God of the Bible is real. And 2,000 years ago, God became a human being to prove that he understands us and so that we could understand him. They need to know that God loves us and that Jesus Christ suffered real shame, real pain, real humiliation, and he endured a real death in our place on the cross to prove his love for us.
They need to know that God really does have the power to make a difference in our lives and to overcome any need or any challenge or any fear or any hurt, any problem we'll ever have, even death. And he proved it by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. And they need to know that they have a purpose and that God has a plan for their lives. And to prove it, he sent his Holy Spirit and gave us his word and gave us his church so that we would never have to walk alone through this life. When the people of Jesus Christ share the love of Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus Christ, then the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew 25, Jesus says, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you gave me clothes. For as long as you've done it for the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. By learning to love the city, we are learning to love Jesus Christ. As you, as we, as I go out, as we get into a deeper relationship with the city and one another, we are going to discover a deeper relationship with the Father. You know, one thing that I learned yesterday is that God is not just going to use us to give the kingdom to the city. He is going to use the city to give the kingdom of heaven to us. He is going to use the city to revive us. Jesus Christ said, when I am high and lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Yesterday, Jesus Christ was lifted up, and word got out, and people came. And the prophet Micah said, the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be lifted up above all hills, and the peoples shall flow to it. Yesterday, Micah chapter 4 came to life. The people of God got out of the building and into the streets and into neighborhoods and into institutions of San Antonio, and the kingdom of heaven was lifted up. God's truth was proclaimed, and his love was demonstrated, and the truth of Jesus Christ was declared, and people came to him, and guess what? Their lives were changed. It was just as God promised. You know, a cynic, I can just hear him now, a cynic might say that the only reason that people came was because we were giving out free food and clothes. You know what? So what? That's what we're supposed to do. We lifted up Jesus Christ. We lifted him up with food. We lifted him up with haircuts. We lifted him up with paint. We lifted him up with music and balloons and testimonies and showers. And you know what? I don't care what the cynics say, because I like what they are saying about us out on the street right now. Jesus said, they will see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Because he was lifted up, we let his light shine through us. And so here's what people are saying about us on the streets right now. They are saying, see how they love this city, that they gave their time to us. See how they love one another, that they want to spend this time together. See how they love God, that they would do all of this for his glory. They are the salt of the earth, and they are the light of the world. Their God must be real. And we want to be a part of that. If we are the salt of the earth, people will get thirsty. And if we are truly the light of the world, then they will find their way to him, and they will be satisfied. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for giving us to this city and for giving this city to us. We thank you that yesterday you brought members of this church, friends and family, members of this community, homeless people, people in need, people who just wanted to help, people who were just curious, together to the mountain of the house of the Lord. And your name was lifted up, and Jesus Christ was lifted up, and people were drawn to you, and lives were changed. Thank you
for what you have done. And Lord, let it quicken our hearts so that we can do it again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for Sunday morning at First Presbyterian Church, San Antonio, where we are living to make Jesus visible. We're located at 404 North Alamo in downtown San Antonio. If you would like to speak to a pastor for any reason, please call us at area code 210-226-0215.
For more information, visit us online at fpcsanantonio.org.